Did you say instinctive?
Yes, the word.
The word instinctive?
Instinct, but... if.
My instinct is to challenge you to a sword battle to the death. Do you accept? Or do you deny and walk away without your manhood?
To the death?
Laughs, he does.
But then it'll just be either the Max show or the Lou show.
Alright, you make a really good point there, and we can't introduce this as the Max and Lou show with just one of us.
Exactly, it's not the Max show, and it's not the Lou show, it's the Max and Lou show, episode 25. Fight to the death would have been a little bit extreme. Just a fight, though.
It still would have been fun.
Yeah, but...
maybe if, like, we just didn't do the whole death part.
Yeah, because, you know what? I wouldn't have minded a quick duel.
We were having a hard time finding a way to open, so, like, I had to throw something out there, and it was, like, either life or death, so...
So, did I say this was episode 25? That happened already?
I think you did say that. So Max 25? And Lucio, episode 25.
Wait, is it 25? I think I'm in...
yeah. I saw it on your paper.
Yo, it's not. I already wrote one for the last episode. It's 24.
Episode 24.
So, guys, yeah, sorry for missing a week. We did miss a week, so I actually had stuff written for last. I just thought this was the one we last talked about.
24 is still a really good number. It adds to 6.
24 is a good number.
I keep my music dial on that shit, bitch. Not just playing, but I really do.
It's Louie, bitch.
Yeah. It's Louie,
that's
bitch.
A reference for all you 90s babies out there. damn, okay, so I actually, some of these are already
but yeah,
a part of it. Cool.
It's been a busy summer for us. Yeah. We got a lot of shit going on, but...
cutting down trees.
Moving people in.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So
yeah, one of our previous co-stars will be living with us soon, and that is Sean Kelsey.
And that's great, because... he's been on the show, he's helped us out with the show before, and like I said, we're all busy people, but the closer we are, the easier it is for us all to contribute to this show, so he's really excited to be coming and living with us and helping out with the show, so.
Yeah, that'll be cool, especially not very soon, but as a small teaser, we will be changing studios soon. That's very exciting.
We're trying to set ourselves up better. We're likely going to invest in better microphones soon. Have a studio finished downstairs in the house if we can all work hard enough on that, and maybe build a nice podcast table and you know, have our station set up with note taking setups and coffee for the guests and
yeah.
Knickknacks on the table, whatever.
Exactly.
It is.
We can make the environment very nice.
But as he said, not right away, but This is the goal, you know? The Max and Lou show is back, and we're busy as ever, so we're trying to bring everything we need to the table.
Speaking of, like, working hard and all that, our studio won't exist soon. Right? Because you're doing a little renovation in this house.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I mean, if you call it a studio, we got this little spot here.
It's our studio.
It is. I do call it the studio. I don't even call it, like, my office. I just call it the studio. But we got this spot here behind the curtain up in my bedroom where it's just nice little setup with the desk and some chairs and some windows.
Good ambiance. You have good lighting. You have a lot of cool, like artifacts and swords.
Yeah, let's point out some shit to the people just so they know what kind of things we got going on in here. Right here on my windowsill, right away, I've got some nice little knickknacks, some crystals, some plants. I've got a spider plant, a salvia splendin plant, a little Assassin's Creed pop, some candles. I got some bamboo on my desk. Got some cool LED lights around here, one that looks like a flame torch, my salt lamp, which you can't go without in a podcast. What do you see, Max?
I was going to say, we got Ragnarok holding up a lamp.
Dude, he is the one and only savior. It's like a warrior Viking looking dude.
And as if it wasn't long cloth. As if it wasn't cool enough, you have like rings hanging off of him. One that's a sundial, correct?
For sure.
You have a sundial ring. Sundial. You have this ring, which you made out of like metal twine. Is that a correct term? Metal wire?
Yeah, it's a crystal actually. Someone gifted me from Utah. And I wrapped that thing up to wear. Someone gifted me that coin from Denmark.
And this is from the Vampire Diaries.
That is from the Vampire Diaries tour in Covington, Georgia. That is that one. I have another one that is not so worn down. But yeah, a lot of those were gifts. Shit, I don't know where the one you gave me is, though.
Sick Parvis Magna. You used to wear that, right?
Yeah, I think it's up here somewhere or something. Because the string broke on it, but yeah, so that's what we're doing, you know?
Yeah, it's a very nice, and the thing is, the ambiance is important. You have the little bookshelf here, you have Edward looking down at us.
That's Edward Kenway, the famous assassin.
You have swords up there, you have the Appalachian Trail next to us, because that way, it's like, it'll never be out of my mind. I always see it, I'm like...
Yeah, I got maps up on the wall. I mean, it's important to you know, you could describe it as being pack ratty, but... It makes places feel homey. And don't get me wrong, I'm all about minimalism. But, you know, the way I look at it is if I could fit everything I own in a very small van or box truck, then I'm still doing good. You know, it doesn't matter how much shit I have on my walls or how many little knickknacks I have that have their own meaning and memories attached to them. Because if I could just take my hand and... swipe all that shit off my desk into a box, that's cool with me. You know, I don't need, like, furniture and fucking utilities and pictures and all this shit, you know? I mean, I feel like with the technological era, we just do have it a lot easier with not as much baggage as our parents had, like, physically. Because, like,
I'd agree.
Everything, we don't need paperwork, essentially, because everything is on our smart devices. And we don't need physical photographs because everything is on our smart devices.
Yeah, that's the biggest part. Is like that's why DVDs is going out. VHS tapes were, you know, double the size of a DVD
streaming,
case.
Exactly. If you stream, it's like, all right, well, I don't have to lug fucking 1,500 VHSs and DVDs to my next house because I just stream, you know?
Oh, yeah, right now, upstairs, they my parents in their attic have, I think, three entire bins, which, you know, all bins are probably universally the same size. Three bins full of VHS tapes, and all the DVDs are downstairs in an area they don't really go to anymore.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's like, to us,
what are they
like,
doing with them?
That's the point. It's like, do we throw them out? We bought them.
Yeah,
we don't use a VHS. There isn't a VHS hooked up in the house. That's but crazy.
I mean, it's just, I guess it's just a relic. Something to pick up on them and be like, ah, yeah. I remember. And it's very important because, like, I guess you could, like, rewatch a movie or, you know, hear of a movie that you streamed and still have that mental connection to something with it. But at the same time, like, the physical VHS tape is something that you could walk up to. Like I just said, pick it up, look at it, and be like, I remember watching this for the first time, who I was with, where we were, when we popped it in, you know?
I fully agree with that because that's how I am with books. Books, you lug around. I have bins and bins full of books, and that's my choice. I don't need them. If I read them, I don't need to keep it, but
it's a similar concept. Yeah, a similar concept.
Every time I see that book, I think about it, and I'm like, man, and it's like, especially because, you know, it's that book. You know, it's not just the thinking of the book. It's like that exact book I read through, and that was a great book or a whole series. And I like to show them off in a way. You know, it's like I have my shelves of books I completed and, you know, all of that. But yeah, I guess point being, like, making your own space and a space that you feel comfortable in and you kind of look around, you feel emotion from it. It's important.
Well, let's draw on that because one thing that. There's this guy, shit, I really wish I knew what his profession was, but his name's Jordan Peterson, I believe, and, he does a lot of, like, psychological type talks on the internet and seminars, and one thing he preaches, and it's become an extremely big fad, is clean your room. And I learned this, I think, on my own over time. Maybe it was from some other source of information about more or less tending to your immediate environment, because like you just said about you know, making yourself comfortable. It's very important that when you wake up, you know, your room and your environment is how you want it to be. So, you know, you got to keep it clean and keep it neat and organized. That's the thing. Clean and organized. And it's very important. And then that stems off. And you'll go...
Yeah, it's important for your mental health. It can make you sad or it can make you happy.
Absolutely. And when you start keeping your room clean and organized and you realize how well that makes you feel, you start branching off to other rooms in your house. And then you start branching off to other aspects in your life. You transfer that knowledge to everything else in your life about keeping things clean and organized. It helps the brain.
No, I completely agree. If you think about it, like, you know, doing work. Oh, yeah. So Jordan Peterson is a professor of psychology at the University of Toronto, as well as a clinical psychologist, public speaker, and he is
he an author?
He says it's a creator of self-authoring.
What the fuck does that mean?
Let's look up what that means. So he created self-authoring, which, like, I don't know, the idea sounds like creating your own story, but...
That's what it said? He is the creator of self-authoring?
Yeah, what is self-authoring?
Sounds like...
It helps you explore your own past, present, and future.
It sounds more or less like you being in control of your life. You know, you are the author of your story, or you are the author of yourself.
It helps you remember, articulate, and analyze key positive and negative life experiences.
It's important to look back into your past and think very hard about, did this experience influence me in a positive or negative way? That's important. Absolutely. You transfer that. You transfer that knowledge to the future or to the present when new things arise.
Honestly, that's like a key aspect of the way I live is like, I have no regrets, but that doesn't mean that there aren't things that I thought were awful in my past.
Of course, and they had an effect on you and turned you into who you are.
And whether it's positive or negative, I look at it and say, without that have happening, I wouldn't have this knowledge and I wouldn't be where I am now. I wouldn't have the mental process that I do. Because, you know, if you go through like a part of life, let's say there's a part where you don't struggle in life. Then you don't, like, I forgot who said it, who says you don't know if you're truly happy until you experience struggle. It's something like that. Because people who can struggle and not be happy in, like, you know, I guess the cultural sense, like money and job and, like, happy, like, family, all of this. If you can be struggling but still see positive in life and be happy, that's where it shows, like, who you actually are, you know, like, without struggling. If you think about it, it's like when kids who grow up...
Well, I think it shows where you are. You know what I mean? It kind of puts you in place in time and space.
Yeah.
It does show you who you are, but more or less where you are. Because, like you said, if you're going through life and it's a breeze, there's nothing to challenge your mental frame, then you're not going to have that perception of where you are or who you are.
Yeah.
You know,
you kind of become ignorant of life itself because you're so relaxed.
You need other people to challenge your being in order for you to know, you know, where and who you are. And you're right, without those struggles, you would have no gratification for life without struggle. And that comes back to duality, and duality is everywhere. You can't have one without the other.
Yep.
The yin and yang in life.
Exactly. So whenever there are people who are like, oh, and I understand there can be things to regret. You can, Bushy's here with us, by the way. You can struggle and you can have bad moments and you can have regrets, but you don't have to regret everything just because it's bad, you know? Even if it's something you said as opposed to something that happened to you, you know, it's like, you don't regret it because you wouldn't have the knowledge of what would have happened. You know, you wouldn't be where you are. You wouldn't have the experiences you had. Not saying that you can't have regret, but little things. Like, you would think in my life, just for a little history for me, I have been expelled from school at one point. And you would think, looking back in your past, especially being an adult, you'd be like, oh man, I regret getting expelled. But I really don't. Not for a second. There's nothing about that expulsion that has affected my life really in a negative way. Almost at all. It even made my GPA go up, well, which is hilarious. I didn't graduate at a later time.
I can easily see how getting out of the standard schooling curriculum would be a positive benefit instead of a traumatizing. You being in regular school is probably, in my opinion, more traumatizing than being in a...
The colonial institution.
Yeah.
You know. So it's crazy, because sure, that moment. Did I enjoy the moment, which you witnessed, which is hilarious. You were in the classroom with me. I was actually, I had did one you, classroom my entire life
did,
with you.
Did you,
and that was science.
Did you feel any fear or anxiety in that moment?
In the moment, for one reason.
Because that's where the trauma comes from. So, sure. So where that experience led you... wasn't bad.
No.
So you didn't you didn't get traumatized by being put into a different environment, which would which would normally be a red flag.
You know what? There are parts about colonial which I don't want to consider it traumatizing, but I don't know, it opened my eyes.
Yeah,
it
puts things into perspective. Yeah. You just said it didn't have a negative effect on your life, but because you went there, you are who you are now. It put different things into perspective for you.
So
like,
much more.
These kids are sneaking brass knuckles into school. These kids are doing drugs at 16 years old.
Yeah, it's like, you know, even though there are drug-sniffing dogs and all this, you see people who are still pulling off, bringing drugs in, you know, walking into a closet and coming out. He looks at you and he goes, shut the fuck up. I didn't say a word, but he's like I saw it on, he was like, all right, you say anything, you're done.
Those are damaged individuals.
Yeah. I shouldn't have been there.
You should not be a teenager going into a closet in a school facility to get your fix.
No, that's not so. At all.
It's one thing if you got to go home after school and get your fix, but like, that's damage right there.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, by fix, just to be fair, he wasn't like, you know, shooting up or anything. He was
anything.
I think he might have just been smoking.
He could have been in there eating a hoagie.
But even just bringing weed into a school that is designed for people to be rehabilitated.
But again, this all could stem back to keeping your room clean.
Keeping a
clear and organized mind and life. But that's kind of our morning meditation wisdom for you guys. So if you're listening to this and it's early in the morning or even in the evening, there's a little bit of a peace of mind for you.
Really, like two parts
humbling
to
information.
One, look at your environment and make sure it makes you happy. And secondly, look at your experiences in life and kind of reflect on them. Not saying don't regret
them
or anything,
but
know if they're good or bad.
Do not dwell.
No, not at all.
Reflect.
Don't think about how you could have changed it.
When you think of the experience and it comes up and these emotions flood through your brain again, that's when you reflect and you have the ability to move on. Just move on. Let the emotions and thoughts run through you. If you gain a new peace of mind out of it, you do. If you don't, then, you know, there's always room for work. There's always room for work. So, like he said, make sure you're being very conscious of your environment and it's appealing to you, makes you happy. And what was the second part?
Reflect
on
your
experiences. Everyone's different, and everyone's got it. Everyone's got it bad and good in different ways. So, email us what you think at maxandlucio@gmail.com. So, Max, you texted me a little while ago.
I did earlier today,
and I'm so lucky, honestly, because you hit me with the 30-minute long Assassin's Creed Valhalla gameplay.
I did.
And I had no idea about this, and I've been trying to follow this game as much as I can. I am not a gamer. I would never consider myself a gamer. I love video games. I love all different aspects of life.
That isn't like in your even top five of like favorite interests.
Activities. Yeah. Exactly. So, though I do love the Assassin's Creed saga, that's what has kept me so excited about this game. And I have to say that if I didn't get into the Vikings television show from History Channel, this game probably would not be drawing me in nearly as much. I might even just not want anything to do with it because of what I have to say about the game. But what I'm trying to say is that it slipped right under my radar. And then you started telling me that people were deleting it. And I started finding other videos of people saying that there was a 30-minute long gameplay leak and this and that, but I can't show you the video because apparently, and I don't blame them at all, but Ubisoft is going around trying to completely delete YouTube channels. Not even just take videos down. They're trying to completely eliminate anyone who's trying to get this information out to people. And I, like I said, I don't blame them, but it's happening. Shit went under my radar. I almost missed a 30-minute long gameplay video, which I could have lived without, but you got me a good link to one, and I watched it, and I've got a few things to say about it. I am still excited for it. Thing is, I just don't understand why they have to press the issue of these still being Assassin's Creed games. Because it really just does not feel like it. The more and more recent games they release, they feel less and less like an Assassin game.
Yeah, all right. So, all right, we will definitely...
I love the RPG aspect. I love the open world aspect. They could have just made a game where your protagonist is a Greek mystios, and he goes through the Greek world trying to reunite his family. They could have made a Norse-type game where you are just a Viking. I don't know, maybe...
But I think that's their point, because Assassin's Creed, the worst part is the name. That is what it is, because Assassin's Creed is about the whole idea. Literally, if you think about it, not from game individually, but as a whole, it's about going through history. You know, every game is never in the same era as the last, well, same time maybe. Right? Sometimes they're close, just in different parts of the world. Is that correct?
I think you're right.
So it's
a couple of them.
Yeah, it's about experiencing locations and the experience that it could be like in a certain culture in time.
Yes.
The problem is it's called Assassin's Creed. And especially the way they try to influence your mind in the early games of what an assassin means.
Exactly. They give you this concept of, you know, Assassins versus Templars, the freedom versus the control or whatever, and like that really grows on you, and you know, makes you like that shit. Like, you know, you're just this badass protagonist that's out there liberating and freeing people and working in the shadows to make it happen. And what they did was they made you such a big part of these main events in history.
Yeah.
That like I feel like they're just getting so detached from the actual Assassin's Creed structure of these games. Like, they're moving so far into this RPG realm that, like, don't get me wrong, I'm still going to have fun playing this game for sure, but I just don't know how much I'm actually going to enjoy it and feel like it's an assassin game.
I think the biggest part is enjoying it for two different reasons. One, for the game itself and the character and the story as a single game, and then everything that involves Assassin's Creed's story with the Animus and the Templars, and deciding, like, okay, has this game even really brushed upon the fact that, like, it's about, like, nothing is true, everything is forbidden, and the Apple of Eden, like, are we there at all, or are they like, well, we'd like to make a Greek game now?
That is exactly where I think they are. And like I said, if I never got so into Vikings, this game is literally like, it doesn't get any more immersed in the world of Vikings than being able to play a video game in the world of the Vikings. Like, it is literally like, it's Vikings, the video game, is what it looks like to me. And like I said, that is why I'm so excited for it. I can actually, now that I'm talking more about this and I'm thinking about it, I can honestly say I have no inclination to get that game for any assassin-type reason whatsoever. I'm only going to get that game because it's going to be a good RPG in the Norse world.
Yeah, and it's a benefit that it has Assassin's Creed on the name.
Maybe. It might just make me want to shut it off. Yeah. It really might. But if I did not get into Vikings, and then I started playing these new Assassin's Creed games, I feel like the whole Norse mythology and I'm so amazed by all that stuff now. Any part of the world I'm amazed by now, culture and all that stuff. But in my younger years, I don't think the Vikings were too alluring to me. I was not too drawn to the Norse heritage,
especially at our age. Like nothing Norse or like anything Viking was very popular.
Yeah, now Thor, it's the shit.
Thor was like the first. Yeah,
exactly.
Thing, right?
That was when Vikings started coming into. I feel like. Modern day American culture. I could be wrong about that, but for me,
yeah,
like
as far as culture and like,
because I started learning like, yeah. So like Thor is a Norse god. That's who he is.
And then you're like, okay, I know the name Odin. What does that mean?
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, it's like okay, that's like the Zeus, but for Norse, not Greek.
And that's the thing; they don't necessarily teach you all that in school. That's the
yeah,
thing.
They
in the
brush
in
it.
Our curriculum, it's Roman. And Greek gods that they teach you about.
They'll be like, there are these type of mythologies. Roman, Greek, Viking, let's not touch that. Here's Greek and Roman. Like,
right?
Like, yeah, I hear you, yeah.
So, but if it wasn't for me being at the Vikings and with the way the Assassin games have been going, I might just not even want to play that game. You know, I mean, I'm surprised that I even do like video games as much as I do now because... I'm very against them for many reasons, but I also see that they're not going anywhere ever, and there are many benefits from them. So, again, you've known me for a long time. We've hung out on a daily basis for years. There was a period where, like, I didn't have my PlayStation 4, and I had, like, a shitty PS3, and, like, I probably didn't pick up a video game for months at a time unless it was playing something with you. Or unless it was popping in my PS3 and getting back into an old Assassin's Creed game for whatever reason, you know, that could even just be like, just like psychological reasons, you know, if I was going through some shit and I needed some sort of an outlet or whatever, and I was like, man, you know, I really want to play Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, just sometimes it's in
Black
your mind.
Flag or
yeah,
whatever. Exactly. So, I'm not big on video games, but as of lately, I'm really finding new love and joy in them.
That's good. So, just to keep on the subject of video games, I want to bring up a couple of things that I have.
Did you see the skill tree, though? Did you look that far into the video?
I didn't enter it, no.
Okay, because at the very end, they go through the skill tree and go
and
through the inventory
and
stuff.
They are,
some just... the person starts buying skills with his skill points, and the tree is fucking huge.
All right, that's good. And how about the inventory? Does it look like the same kind
yeah,
of?
Yeah, it looks exactly like... the last two games, more
right.
or less.
Okay.
You can actually...
No problem with that.
It looked like... No, it looked really good. You could... every piece of equipment, you can make invisible.
That's smart, because they only let that happen for helmet.
Yeah, so you could do your helmet, you could do your hood, you could do your axes, you could do your shoes. All of it is invisible.
All right, so just a few things about video games. The one thing I definitely want to at least just bring up for a second is that, you know the game Dreams... correct?
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if we've talked much about Dreams.
Fagito.
Did we ever bring it up, do you think?
No, we never talked about it on the show. We might have... I think we might have brought it up when it was...
like, getting announced and
yeah,
all
before...
that.
Like, obviously, we haven't talked about it since we've experienced it.
Okay. So, Dreams is a game that is exclusive to PlayStation, where you can... it's a game to make games. And that sounds simple, but... or maybe it sounds not simple, but it's ridiculous. It's absolutely insane. It's very creative. You can make any type of games. People have made Pong. People have remade games.
It's really hard to get the point across how it works and how simple it is by just talking. So, like, you might just want to go on YouTube right now or later and look up a video.
Like, just look up, like, a compilation of a couple of games.
Because he's not wrong. And you saying this... I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, you can make any game.
Yeah.
And it's like, but how? How does a game let you make any game? It's
true, because like, if you're looking at
a game
like
Assassin's
Creed...
kind of like a paradoxal question.
Very true, because like, if you're looking at Assassin's Creed, you're like, okay, that's over-the-shoulder, open world, this concept, and then you look at like Mario, and you're like, okay, that's like two-dimensional, like a flat surface, and it does this. And then you think of games like, I don't even know, what would be...
But the point is, this game is coded... to give you specific tools and, I guess, software, I could say. I don't know how to word that.
Yeah,
but
I understand.
But specific tools and mechanisms, I guess. Yeah, I could word it.
They call them, like, yeah, like, they call them gadgets, nodes.
Exactly.
Like, all these different things that you have to create, like,
so the game is the game is coded to give you these mechanisms and tools that, after a long, grueling tutorial, you will then know how it works, how this game can put all of the pieces together and give you all the tools you need to make your own game, however you want it. Like he just said, Assassin's Creed, over the shoulder, Mario, 2D, side-scroller. It can do all of that.
So we're not going to talk too much just about the game, because if you guys think that's interesting, go ahead and look it up. The reason I'm bringing it up is because finally, it has been rumored and it was finally announced that on July 22nd of this year, Dreams is getting an update for virtual reality.
Oh, so we've been waiting for this.
You can make your own and play your own virtual reality games. People have already been designing it, and because I think they released like betas, you know, for some people. So when it comes out, games already exist. You know what I mean? So they've already made a Beat Saber called Dream Saber. Like, people are already making them, and so when it comes out, stuff will exist. How cool is that? Because that's something that's very different. I'm going to re-download it just so I can imagine making, like, your neighborhood. So weird. Just so you can walk through it in virtual reality. And now you're like, okay, throw zombies in it, you know?
Oh, like, my God, bro. Yeah, because we talked about, like, making the pipeline and shit before. Dude, where is this realm of life and consciousness going?
The fact that this is coming out so soon is very exciting. So, if anyone has a PlayStation 4 and virtual reality for it, in, what is it?
Oh, jeez. Like 3 weeks. Not
yeah,
even.
In like, yeah, about like 2.5 weeks. There you go. You
can get ready.
Play your own video game.
Do you know how much Dreams is?
I think it is $40 new. It might be $50. But it's cheaper than most, you know, AAA new games. So I'd highly recommend it. It's really interesting. It's fun to make it if you're interested in creating, or if you're just interested in like, I don't know, playing everyone else's games. Because you can play anybody's game, and it's very, very fun. But just to keep on the subject of virtual reality really quickly, it has only been a quick mention. There is no information about it. But Rockstar, which are the creator of, you know, Grand Theft Auto and I don't know what, Red Dead Redemption, Bully, you know, some very big games. They have just announced that they are making a AAA, which means like pretty much like very top of the line open world RPG VR game.
Well, with all that money they're getting from 7-year-olds playing Grand Theft Auto every day.
It's insane. I don't even know if we brought up the fact that it's coming out for PS5. Yep, they won't stop making money off that game. It's, like, I'm upset, but at the same time, it's like, all right, well, as long as you're going to keep making other
games, I'll take a GTA 6 with a whole new story and a whole new city. That'd be dope as shit.
That's all everyone wants. It'd be really cool. Like, you know, I bet with the software of the newer consoles, you could, like, merge all of the other games into one map.
Oh, fucking for sure. Definitely, dude, we're beyond that. They could have done that years ago.
You're right.
Like, I wish, bro. I wish, like, everyone could just get the cool shit they wanted. Not the bad shit, just the cool shit.
And I think this is the only other video game news I have, but I do feel like it should be mentioned. Since we've last talked, a very popular game in a very famous and popular franchise was released called Last of Us Part 2. So we're not going to talk at all about, even though I finished it, I'm not going to talk about my opinions on it. It's very early. I want to keep it.
You need to digest it.
Especially that. But I'm going to talk about,
it's like a real long, fat-filling feast that you just had. And it was fucking great in the moment. But you need to sit for a while and digest what you just went
through.
Oh,
very true. Do you remember? Who was it? I think Brandon. Brandon played it.
First or second?
And, because I played it probably a couple months or even a year prior, and he came up to me and said, The Last of Us sucks.
Dude, but that's fucking the Kelsey's for you.
Fair, but I think he has came back to me, like, you know, months later and said, like, okay, I have simmered down.
Damn, dude, you're making me want to play it.
And would you not? I'm not gonna lie. That's what's gonna happen with this one.
Do you
hear
have,
about the hate?
Do you have the first one? Still, you don't have that. I have to buy it, dude. You put so much hype on that game when it, you didn't put so much hype on it, but you are the reason why, like, we got hyped for it. Because you're like, guys, check this out. Look what they're doing with the Unreal 4 engine and the, what's going to be on the next-gen consoles.
It's true.
And, like, we were like, holy shit, look at the
watching
fucking...
it?
Yeah, the trailer when it's climbing through the windows and you see all the fucking... the cities all overgrown and shit like that. We're
like
we're just like,
birds flying
wow.
by. And at the time...
Yeah.
Like, the funny thing is saying birds flying by, you're like, why is that fucking
dude,
cool?
Those motherfucking birds in your dream game were the shit, bro.
You're not wrong.
That's why birds flying by are cool, because anybody who knows how hard that shit is going to respect that shit.
No, but, like, to me, that was really cool, because, like, you think about it, you're like, okay, they clearly had to, like, design it so when you walk through the doorway, it triggers these birds to go by.
Yeah.
Unless there's just birds flying by all the time. Like,
yeah.
So you're, all right, I'm going to talk about it for one more second, because that... game is big, because I remember watching that trailer and it seemed so stupid and so simple, but it was so immersive that when, like, she's shoot, oh no, yeah, because you're playing as Joel, you shoot at the guy, he has two bullets, because the game, you know, you it's hard to find resources. He shoots once, shoots twice, and he hits him once, but he doesn't kill him. He shoots a third time and it goes click, and then as he ducks behind, the enemy goes, I know that sound, and he starts rushing toward you because you tried to shoot a bullet. Like, now he knows you're out of bullets. Like, little things like that.
If you
like
didn't
that.
Do that, it wouldn't happen.
Exactly. It's
but
a
that's
very...
really good coding.
Exactly.
That's really good video game
it's
coding.
It's so clever, and, like, at the time, games weren't doing things like that.
Was that would that be considered AI?
That
computer knows to react that way to a
sure.
signal?
Yeah. Yeah, you can call it, like, coding in the sense of, like, when you do this, it makes it do that, but at the same time, it might be in its program, you know, to be like, if it hears this noise,
react
or,
in these
yeah,
ways.
If you move this way, if you throw this thing, or because if you shoot, you know, if you shoot and miss them, they dodge, they don't just stand
yeah.
still, they're like, oh my god, I almost got hit.
I feel like anything that's not the protagonist has to be almost AI. In a video game.
Well, okay, they call them NPCs.
Yeah.
So maybe it's... maybe
it might
like,
be different.
Yeah.
It might be a different
realm.
Because
artificial intelligence would be... Because you know what? Like, Red Dead 2 is a good example. Do you consider it... Well, no. Because AI means, like, it's smart, not it knows things.
It's, like, self-functioning.
Yeah.
Is AI.
Because in Red Dead 2, I think it's the only
I
game
I think
that
NPCs
has
are run off of AI, because they're self-functioning.
Okay. It makes sense, because, all right, in Red Dead 2, do you know this? Every NPC... has an actual schedule. It has like a 24-hour loop.
You might have brought this up on the show, but you brought this up to me like kind of recently.
It's smart. It's like it wakes up, so when it wakes up, it'll go to the store. And then after it goes to the store, it'll come home and cook dinner or no, breakfast with their husband or maybe
it's
their
so funny because you play a video game and you would be so fascinated by that when you learn that. But in all reality,
there's
it's
YouTube
like
videos of people following certain NPCs to see their life.
But
it's
I feel like it's not that hard to do. I mean,
no,
it's very fascinating in the aspect that it's every NPC in the game.
Yeah, like an open world game.
So
where,
like
yeah.
if it was just one NPC, you know, that wouldn't be too impressive. But it's impressive in the fact that it's a grand scheme of things.
Yeah, like
let's get back to Last of Us, because why did you bring this up again? I cut you off.
Yeah, I said we're not going to talk about the controversy because some people are saying it's awful. Some
you were talking about
Brandon
telling you the first one was okay. better.
Yeah, the reason I brought it up is because even with all the controversy, you know, people are saying it's not a great game while other people are saying it's a great game. The news is that Last of Us Part 2, in the past week, sold more than the rest of the top 10 games that have came out in the month combined.
Repeat that?
So in the past week, Last of Us Part 2 has sold more units than the rest of the top 10 combined.
What does that mean, though? Since 2020?
No, I think it's a month.
So the month of June?
Yes. Or maybe like, yeah, I think, well, no, it has to be July. It has to be just,
July just
oh, yeah, you're
started.
Right. June. It has, yeah, because it counts at the
so
end of the month.
So the top 10 video games out at the moment did not gross as much as The Last of Us Part 2 did in 1 week.
Yeah.
Combined,
so
those
yeah,
10 did not gross
as much. If you combine top 2 to 10, it doesn't equal the amount that Last of Us 2 made. And Last of Us 2 was only out for a short amount of time in June. So that alone proves something crazy.
But I guess it does prove something. Because I was going to say, like, does that really make that it's a good game? Or does that just mean that it's got a big following, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's a good game. You know, they're, like, I'm trying to think of certain games that did very good on, like, you know, sales. But people said it was an awful game. Because, you know, people want it. Like, Anthem would be a good example. Like, everyone thought Anthem was going to be so cool. And then it bombed awfully. Because
you can get real philosophical on this stuff, though. Because it's like, what is a good game? All a good game is really a game that's getting backed by a big following and what the masses want and like. The masses that are putting out similar wants and needs and ideas of video games, that's what they're going to appeal to.
Yeah.
Whether one other person or, you know, half the other population doesn't think that's good. You know, it's really just what the masses want, and that's what's going to deem a game creatable.
Well, it's true, because, like, initial sales is one thing, but then if it's considered a bad game, people will never buy it after that.
There's ratings too. There's critic ratings.
Yeah, like
sales and ratings are two different things.
Very true. Well, and that's the thing, that right now,
is that where you're going with this, though? Is that this game
is just to say how much it made in 1 week.
That's impressive, though. And the game's only been out for fucking, what, 2 months?
It's been out for 2 weeks.
It's only been out for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, dude.
But I was going to ask you,
my reference of time is gone.
If you think you could guess a couple of games that were in the top 10 for this month. And don't think month, because all you got to do is think games. And I'm curious if you will know, because two of these will not surprise you at all, and you could guess them, like, right now, without thinking hard. I know you could.
GTA?
Absolutely. That has Minecraft? Been in the top 10 for the past 5 years, and Minecraft has also been in the top 10 for, like, the past 5 years.
Is God of War still on there?
No, definitely not.
Tomb Raider?
No. There's only one more on here that's only for PlayStation.
Is there like an NBA game on there or a soccer game? FIFA?
Yep. Number two is FIFA.
FIFA has to be on there, dude.
Number people two is love FIFA. Animal Crossing's
what
the
about,
new one.
Is there no NBA 2K?
Surprisingly, that is the only sports game in the top 10 this month.
Damn. What are they? Read them.
We got FIFA 20, Ring Fit Adventure, Animal Crossings, which that one's not too surprising. Mario Kart 8. It surprises me. That's been out for a hot minute.
Animal Crossing has been trending a lot lately. I think that's why it's up.
It's a great game, and everyone on Switch owns it. Like,
exactly.
It's crazy. Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
I played that game, and it's gone out of my memory.
Grand Theft Auto 5, Minecraft, Last of Us Remastered.
That's what I'm going to get.
And Xenoblade Chronicles.
But, hey, you can't lie, though. If I do get The Last of Us for the PS4 remastered, it's just still going to be just as fucking beautiful as an experience as if, like, it was on the PS3, you know?
100%. Like,
it's going to be so nice. But
I think you'll enjoy it.
Well, we're on the topic of video games and technology and all that shit like that, we might as well go into our segment of New Invention!
New Invention.
Max has looked something up for us this week that he wants to talk a little bit about. So what do you got for us, Max?
So today we have something. It is definitely different than most of the things we talk about. This is more toward your health. And this is insane that this exists. Usually if you want to know what's in a food, it takes like testing on it, or, you know, of course, reading labels. There are things like that, but
the internet,
sure. But if you like, just I don't even know how to explain this, like, on its use in a practical effect besides like doctors and stuff. There is a thing that exists right now that is called the TelSpec. Now, the TelSpec, what it does, if you use this, if you, like, put a food in it, it's kind of like a little, it's kind of like a clamp that you can rest things on, and it has sensors in it. And these sensors tell you all of the ingredients and all of the nutritional facts, all of, like, everything about this food. Like, here, like, some of the examples, not of what it can sense in it, because apparently it's, like, hundreds of different types of things it can see, but it can tell you if things in it will affect your cognitive and behavioral effects, things that can affect your metabolism, cancer-relating effects through items, reproductive organ effects, microbiome, fetal development effects, and the list goes on. Things that can affect certain parts of your body that if you're worried about, all you have to do is grab this little device, put it on the food, and it'll tell you what is in this food.
Can you tell me the name of it again?
It's called Telspec. T-E-L-S-P-E-C.
Can you pull up a picture for me?
Sure.
Listeners, if you want to look it up,
Telspec. It literally looks like a little, like, clamp, but or it's like a flat surface that you put on something.
What the
It'll tell you
fuck?
If it, it'll tell you if it has gluten. Like, if you are worried about gluten.
Who the fuck made that?
I have no idea.
Why is Rogan not talking about this shit, bro?
If you have any worry about safety about the foods you eat, or maybe it's just a diet.
Fuck the worry, yeah. If you're just conscious about being a healthy human being and stop putting this toxic shit in you that they sell at the grocery store, you really want to know how these things are going to affect your cognitive function, yep. Your sleeping cycle, whatever your metabolism, whatever the fuck else it's saying. Like, that is absolutely...
It checks if there's starch,
where do I
MSG,
get this?
Gluten.
What's the price? We need more details, Max.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry to rush you, man, but you just got my shit going with this thing.
So let's see if you want to know.
Give us more details. I don't mean to rush you.
I'm not going to lie. I can't go too hard into details because I didn't look it up too much, but it tells you if there are any, like, animal byproducts, if there's any type of, like, almond oil. It tells you if there is, like, almond flour. I'm literally just, like, going through a list just to see. But it can tell you if things are going to affect your, like, cardiovascular system. If, like, there's anything toward your heart. Like, let's say if you have, like, a certain blood pressure. Like, any problem that you have, it has... You don't need to know all of it. But if you say you're worried about these things, you put them, like, on your list. So if you check it, it'll tell you. You know, if you're allergic to nuts or you're allergic to this, it's, like, no more guessing.
This is a good thing and a bad thing because people are lazy. And this is why people don't know what they're putting in their body. So this will help people with that. But the thing is, if you wanted to do this maybe 5, 10, 20 years ago, you'd have to go consult with your doctor. You'd have to get tests run on yourself.
So it does cost a lot of fucking money.
And then you would have to go do your own research. Listen to what your doctor has to say. He might know what's in certain foods that couldn't be bad for whatever results you receive when they test your body. But then it would be up to you to hit the books, you know, do the experimenting, actually find out what is good and bad for you. But
instead of having to, like, stress and be very conscious about everything you see when you go out, forget foods you buy. Like, let's say you're at a party or...
And it might help if you're trying to be more conscious about what you're putting in your body and you're like, man, dude, that fucking McDonald's sounds so fucking good right now. And then, like, I guess that's kind of a bad example, but, like, if you're at a party and you don't want to eat pizza and you're like, man, that pizza looks so fucking good right now. And then you get your little fucking clam clip thing, your Telspec clip, and you go put it on that pizza, and you're like, ew, bro, they got bleached flour in that shit. That's going to kill me.
So
I ain't eating that, you know?
It's not a clamp. It looked like a clamp.
Turn
but
it
it's
towards
actually,
me again.
It's just like a flat thing.
It looks
like
a
this.
Beeper.
Yeah, and when you put it on,
it looks like a smartwatch.
It's called a scanner. So it'll scan it. So I want you to guess how much you think it would cost.
I saw it vaguely. Okay. It was in the range of like $1,200 to $1,600.
It is... $1,900.
Ooh, steep on the fucking pockets.
But
still, something like that is going to be, something like that's going to be under $1,000 in a couple of years. In 5 years,
someone will found, like, they'll be like, oh, this can be a thing. Someone will make one, make it a little cheaper. Maybe it'll be bigger, you know, because I feel like it's small, man. It's like the size of like a smartphone, if not smaller, definitely smaller, like a mouse.
Yeah, it does look really small. Like I'm saying, it looks like it's in my backpack, but it's like my Fitbit, like the watch, the head of my watch. It looks like that small, like a tiny little square. But
the reason why is because everything goes to the phone. And the phone is where you can see the results.
This is why, like, I wanted to just bring up, but I was just like, fuck it. What Elon Musk is doing with his Neuralink thing and how they want to connect, you know, people to these crazy, like, computer-type augmented reality things. And the type of chips that they're putting in people's bodies. I'm sure soon enough one day you'll have a scanner chip on your fingertip. And because we're going to all have Neuralinks in our brains, we won't need cell phones or video games or computers, any of that stuff anymore.
You know,
we're just going to be able to take our finger with our scanner chip on it, touch a pretzel, and bang, in your brain, you're right away going to know everything about that pretzel, where it was made, where it was born, what's fucking in it. It
shows up, like, in your vision, like on your whatever contact.
It might not even show up with how... They'll just tell you, you might just know.
Yeah,
you might just know. Like, there's no seeing or hearing.
Like, Matrix stuff, it just
enters your... Yeah, you just know.
Yeah.
You're fucking downloaded.
It literally, it's terrifying, yet exciting, and I hate
that. It's weird. It's weird, especially for us, because of where we... The kids growing up now... Most of them, probably like 99% of them, reality, technology is their life. Technology is their reality. They're already cyborgs because they've been clinging to technology since they were born. We do have this sort of detachment where the most we had to cling on to when we were kids were like the TV and a Game Boy. And we were able to go outside and find fun in other things. We didn't have so many distractions in front of screens.
Yeah.
We had them, but we didn't have so many.
It's true. And also, as kids, like to adults, it is hitting a point of, like, they call it the uncanny valley. Because, like, everything is starting to look abnormal. Like the definition of uncanny valley is pretty much saying that things, it's like, I don't even know. It's like things are appearing more human-like than they do... you know, like, inventions or technology and all of that. So if we would hit that moment where you can just touch something and know whether or not it is healthy or not, that is definitely considered uncanny valley. But people would consider AI, you know, like, because they're you know about, what is her name? Do you know the robot, like, the girl robot? You know what I'm talking about? I don't know if you do know that.
I know, but I don't know her name.
Okay. So, like, people would fully consider that uncanny valley. She looks real. She can listen to what you're saying and talk back to you. Like, it's insane.
I'm not going to lie, and I'm not going to specify, but the first... You showed me that.
Her?
Yeah, we were high as fuck when we saw that. That's all I'm going to say is we were high as fuck, dude, and I was like, we were sitting right here. This was years ago, but we were sitting right here when this was your room. And I was like, bro, that is fucking weird. I don't know if I want to watch this right now. Because she was, like, bald in the video, too, I think.
Yeah,
but, like,
she doesn't even have skin on the back of her head. But she has,
so
like, a...
creepy and real, though.
Yeah, she looks like a real person.
And
but,
again,
but it's uncanny.
Like you were saying about that GTA technology of putting all the maps together.
Yeah.
That's old technology with that cyborg lady. They've been working on that for, like, decades now.
Well, the problem is, I don't know if you know this, but, like, all the bigs ended up making this rule that you, rule. It might be a rule or it's an actual law, but I think it is Bill Gates. I think Elon Musk is a part of it. I know that Stephen Hawking was a part of it. There is, like, a law. You are not allowed to just create artificial intelligence. For some reason, it's just... Not for some reason. It's very understandable why you're not allowed to. So I don't know why this girl's allowed to exist. Now that I think about it, you know, because she is AI. She is the only...
I don't think, like, those aren't lawmakers, those people. So they can't
make a law. Sure, so it's not
a
law.
It's more... It might just be, like, their scientific outlook on science and moral about it, that it should be the law. Like, it is their law to them that that's wrong, you know? Or maybe they're just scared. I know I've heard, like, I don't know if it was any of those guys specifically, but I've heard of other... You know, scientists and stuff like that, and physicists talk about how, like, it's a scary thing because. Mm-hmm. But I've also heard people talk about how, like, it's impossible. So dude, it really all matters who you're talking to, what facts you're looking at, what you want to believe in the moment.
True. Well, talking about being scared, I think it's a great way to go into our new, our newest
Yo, we never done this before. We're jumping from a segment to a segment. We're in a segment in a segment.
This is Segmentception, and welcome to the Unit of Language.
For a look into the words we use and the power they can hold, join us in Unit of Language.
For this week, our word for Unit of Language is fear.
Great segue into that. Hey, Bush.
It's the fireworks.
Yeah, I hope you guys don't hear that too bad.
Happy 4th, even though it is not the 4th anymore and people just can't... You know, they have leftover fireworks days later. They're just like, you know what?
They're still partying.
Fair.
They still got family up.
Is it a weekend? It's not even
it's Monday.
Yeah.
But hey, man, it's July. Weather's been hot as hell. And guess what?
In quarantine, every day's a weekend.
Damn straight. I got nothing to fear.
Yeah, all right. Great way to bring that back. So thinking about fear, if you want to, like, I think the first thing I want to know before experiences and, like, even the first thing you think of when you think of fear, do you have any fears? Like, even, not even dramatic. We don't have to go to a point where you say it's a phobia.
But do you have fears? I personally can't say I have any phobias. But I have this weird, I just don't know because, here's the thing. I think I'm really starting to get more in touch with myself and my biological being as a human. So, like I told you before we started the podcast, I've been reading, or not reading, I wish I was reading, I should be. I've been listening to a lot of, open-minded, spiritual-type podcasters and many scientists like neurochemists. And I've been learning a lot about fear lately. And one thing that I always told myself, and remember, be careful what you tell yourself, because that's really going to become you if you tell yourself. When I was younger, I used to tell myself I was scared to die. But then the thing was, as I got older, I think I started to realize I'm not necessarily scared to die. I'm scared of what's going to happen after I die. It was the unknowing that was giving me that fear. So now that I'm older, I've been through things, I've felt pain. I know pain fucking sucks, but it's undoubtedly temporary, even if it lasts until you die. So what... I don't think I'm scared of physically, you know, if I got stabbed to death or if my head was, I mean, I guess I wouldn't feel if my head got cut off, but whatever. The physical pain of dying, I don't think that's anything I ever feared. I was more or less just scared of what's going to come after.
Because that's interesting, because I think there's three ways to fear death, and I think the third one is like the most popular that I didn't brush upon, and that's like the fear of something happening that might kill you. So, like, you don't want to go into a boat because that might kill you.
This
or you
is
don't
want to. This is what I want. This, really well, that's where, like, phobias come in. Fair. Why else would you have a phobia where you're absolutely. It's your fear response. There's this thing that's embedded in our body through evolution that is your fear response, and it's there for your survival. But a lot of scientists talk about how people today. Their fear response is basically in the wrong direction because they don't have much to focus on. Like, they, like, you know, survival is not as essential as it used to be. So your body's finding fear in other things.
Yeah.
But, so heights, for example.
That's a perfect example for something that you're not scared of just because it exists. You're scared because you might die from it.
Exactly. And, you know, heights was one that I thought about a lot because it's just a perfect example, I guess. Like, if you fall, you know, like, you're going to die. You're going to die.
Depending on the height, but I know what you're saying.
If you were over, like, 100 feet, you're going to die. And I have been next to many ledges that I could have died on. But the thing is, when you think about it and someone asks you if you're scared of heights and then you think if I was standing on the edge of a building or the, you know, and you looked down and... You'd probably say yes, but the whole thing is, I think I've reconstructed this in my brain, for me at least. If I'm standing on a ledge and I'm scared shitless for my life that I'm going to die and I get put into an extreme state of fear and I have to get away from that ledge, that's only my body having a chemical reaction to my environment telling me, you know, this is not safe for your survival. It's not necessarily, like, I think fear needs to be readdressed and looked at differently, because all fear is your body throwing you into a state of fight or flight.
Absolutely.
And getting back to your initial question, I don't think I fear anything anymore. That unknowing of what is going to happen after we pass from this realm is still something that I have to sit with and work on, but I can't say that I fear that. I really can't say that I fear it. I think the best way I could word it is that I'm more or less curious. And again, if there's nothing after, you won't know. So if there's something after, you'll be like, fuck yeah. So that's where I kind of put my beliefs in fear and what I think I might fear. Again, we brought up anxiety, and we don't want to get too much into anxiety right now, but they kind of go hand in hand. So all it really is your body throwing you into that state of fight or flight when you fear something, because there's really no reason to fear anything. We're here to survive. You're either going to survive or die. It's going to happen. So there's no reason to fear it. You're dwelling. That whole dwelling thing we brought up in the beginning of the episode.
I'm trying to think, because, like, the only fear that I can think of that is, like, it's the only one, like, at the top of my head that I can think of. A fear that doesn't involve, like, pain or death, like, physically meaning, would be, like fear, like, stage fright or something, like being in front of large groups and having to speak. Like, that's a big one, right? Like, a lot of people. I'm not even going to lie. I don't have that because, like, I enjoy being, like, you know, like, presenting, like, a project or something, but I think I have a small fear of performing in front of a stage, because I was in a play in first grade, and I was terrified, you know? Like, I'm not saying I'd never do it again, but, like, I had a huge moment of stage fright, and I didn't really know why, and I was like, all these people are looking at me.
Let me tell you something.
Relying on me to do something right.
Let me tell you something. Man. So that's a moment where you can think back and remember you feeling fear for your, like, fear.
I remember that in first grade. Yeah, it was not like I didn't cry. I ended up pulling through, but
okay. Because if it's that bad of a moment, then those are those moments that, like, you should think back to. Think back on that moment and be like, why was I so scared? What put the fear into me? Because again, there's really no reason to fear anything.
Well, sure.
But all it comes back to is people's mental frame of things and them not being comfortable in their own skin. If you're scared to go out and perform in front of people or talk to other people, you're just not comfortable. You're not necessarily, it might be a fear to you, but there's other people that are going to look at you and just say, well, you're just not comfortable. You're not comfortable with who you are.
Like how you're saying it's the whole, like, fight or flight thing, and you're saying that, like, fear should be re-looked at. It's another way of saying, like, it's not saying you shouldn't fear anything, but you should, like, embrace fear.
Absolutely. And that is another, that also comes back to working through your emotions. These emotions come through, and you need to accept them for what they are and let them pass and not let them control you. And that's something that lately, in recent months, so that feeling you get this feeling of angst or fear or whatever it is, like the butterflies, like, in your stomach.
Like, stomach dropping.
Yeah,
type feeling.
You're just anxious, you know, fear, whatever. It's like an adrenaline rush. That's what it is. When that happens, your testosterone. It's testosterone. Male and female have testosterone. That's your testosterone ramping. I think it's testosterone. And regardless, it's hormones. And fuck, I forgot my train of thought.
Embrace it.
Yes. So, like, when we started rock climbing,
That's a great example.
And as we're talking about heights, too, I know I'm not scared of heights. My worry is I'm on a fucking rope right now, 30 feet in the air. I have to trust the guy below me that he knows what he's doing and that he's holding me. And if I fall,
it's a fear of like the fall. Safety.
Yeah, it's a fear of the fall itself. And that, you know, even though I'm climbing on this rope right now, I could still fall and get hurt.
It could be the equipment. It could be the person. It could be the way that you fall and swing. It could exactly. There's so many situations.
It is your mind and body processing the statistics of your environment to evaluate the rate of survival.
And I was going to say, that's probably where you're going with it, was that, like, when you have that feeling, it pushes you to do better.
Well, that's not where I was going.
Oh.
But now I could say that I will take advantage of that feeling and make you know, means out of it. But then, you know, we were young, like 16 years old. I was still very fearful about things in life, many things that wouldn't go out of my comfort zone. Comfort zone is a big thing I like to talk about with people. And one day, like, you know, we climbed all the time, and I was super, you know, nervous climbing up the wall many times. And then finally, I got to a point where I was just like, and this was when we were like 18. And we got the memberships. We were going like 3 times a week that one summer. I was like, this is the time where I need to start pushing I was 18. Now I'm living life. And I'm like, you got to start pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, dude. And it doesn't matter where or how. You start somewhere. Whether it's, if you're too scared to walk out and go get the mail, go fucking walk out and get the mail. If you're too scared to climb the wall and just do it and not worry about that's the thing. It was the perfect way for me to... I wish we did it more, because I know it's still in me. I will go back up to that wall and I will still feel that same way, but it's the practice of you dropping that feeling and being in the moment. And it's so weird because I never used to actually think about living in the moment and, you know, forgetting about the fear and the past and the emotions and all that stuff. But rock climbing is just one of the most perfect exercises for that. So eventually I started pushing myself out of my comfort zone, and I started getting over fears. I started letting that fear factor just sink down into me and disappear. And I still get it, though. It's this feeling, this flustering feeling of fear or anxiety, whatever it is, you know. It's it's this fight or flight system, and it still comes up. Even if you have to have a weird conversation with somebody, this feeling of fear comes up. And anymore, I wrote it down just to prove it to you. I wrote it down 2 days ago. What is that feeling you get, like adrenaline? It's right there. I wrote it right there.
Okay.
Because I want to remember that. I want to remember that this feeling that comes up, like fear or adrenaline or whatever it is, I want to remember that that's a feeling that I want to start sitting with and readdressing and, you know, do elsewise with, except for stress.
Yeah, like when it resist. Happens.
Don't resist it.
Because it's very easy to succumb to it, you know? It's like for it to have a bad influence when you feel fear. It's very easy for that to be a traumatizing feeling for you. It's hard that in the moment to tell yourself, okay, embrace this. You know, it's like use this right now the right way. Because I think it makes sense. Those would probably be the two directions it would go as far as fears, would be either death or failure. Does that sound about right? Because failure would be like, you know, fear of like, what would be one? Oh, a perfect one would be like fear of like social groups, and you would feel like, okay, well, I'm going to come off like a bad person. Or fear of like, there are a lot of people who have like a fear of talking to girls, you know? And that would be coming off like a failure, you know, like failing at coming off the way you want. So like, I think death and failure are probably the two directions it leads for fear, or at least pain, like death pain, you know, because... Like, the one fear I have, which, like, I had the name remembered at one point, but it's not a huge fear, but I do have a fear, and it is a legitimate fear, of things going into my eyes. So, like, I am kind of scared of, what do they call them? They call them peepholes, indoors, like, in apartment buildings, when you have to look through them and you see someone there. I have, like, a small unreasonable fear for that, because I have a feeling that something might come through that and go into my eye, which is kind of strange. The funny part is, after having this fear for, I'm going to say it's probably been a little over 10 years now that I've had this fear, and I've had to question, why do I have this fear? And I think I know why, and I don't know if you I've told you this part, but I think it's because the one time during Manhunt, we were out playing, and in the dark, I was running through the woods, and a branch just went straight into my eye, and I had a huge, like, bloody and gross bruise on my eyeball for a couple of weeks. And, I mean, it would make sense to me if that would have brought that fear up, because it was extremely painful and scary. I thought I might have lost the vision in that eye, all of this thing, and it might have just triggered something in me to be scared of it. I don't know. But I've had to dig and trying to find that
out. At least you're trying, though. At least you're trying to find that out and see what, like, where that... Because the thing is, that peephole analogy is just... It could just be something stemming from another part of your life. You know what I mean?
True. Like, maybe I'm scared of what I'm going to see or, like, you know...
What? I just had an extremely traumatic experience, like, 2 months ago when that fucking dead tree fell on my back.
Yeah. And we haven't brought this up, but I've wanted to.
Yeah, I fucking was acting like an idiot, like a child in the woods trying to push down a dead tree. And half of the top of the tree that was already knocked on the ground rolled off of the stump and fell on my back. And long story short, it really fucked me up. I couldn't walk for a few minutes. And let me tell you, if I did not make my mind as strong as it is today over the last 5-10 years of my life... And if I did not exercise as much as I do, which isn't a lot, I'm not like an extreme athlete, but I make sure to take care of my body and my health. If I didn't do any of those things, I would probably be crushed right now, mentally and physically. But this tree fell on my back. I got winded right away, got thrown into shock and had to lay down. And my girlfriend was with me, so fortunately I wasn't alone. I wasn't, you know, in an extremely hazardous environment because we were at her house, but I had to lay down on the ground for like 20 or 30 minutes, and I couldn't move because there was sharp pain in my back, and my body went into shock. I started sweating. I started shaking. I had to sit up and really breathe so that way I didn't faint. It was a traumatic experience physically for sure. So that happened. But the thing is, I'm the type of person that I ain't gonna fucking let that stop me, yo. I had work the next day, and you know what I did? I climbed my ass up to the fucking house. I ate as much fucking food as I possibly could to give myself the energy I knew I would need. And then that next morning, my ass wobbled fucking to the car, drove to work, and I went to work. And, you know, depending on your job and stuff like that, those are all variables, but whatever. I had a really bad experience a few weeks ago, and as me and you are working together over the last couple weeks, taking down these trees in your parents' yard, I'm realizing how fucking terrifying it is to be next to a dead tree.
I was
going to
say that it did, in a way, now influence your mind when you're around trees, especially falling ones.
So, another thing, though, that I want to bring up, though, is when I started climbing in that tree that we thought we had to cut the branch out of, yeah. I was like, wow, I forgot how uncomfortable it can be being off of the fucking ground, you know? So what I'm getting at is, again, make long story short, I think what really happened with the tree falling on me, and again, if I wasn't as strong as I am mentally and physically, it would have had worse outcomes on me, mentally and physically. But because of who I am, that tree falling on me did not have such a severe impact. You could call it trauma. I don't even want to call it trauma because anyone else, it might have been traumatizing. It might have affected them for the rest of their life. I still feel it in my back now. But
what an influential moment.
Exactly. Anything. So it transferred to me basically realizing, hey, you know, you're not so invincible as you might think you are. You're very vulnerable. Be more careful. So me being in the tree realizing, hey, you know, I could fucking fall and get hurt. Me being next to these dead trees realizing, hey, these things are dangerous. We could fucking get hurt, you know? It's kind of just like a transfer of knowledge.
Honestly, and I think it's even a great way to wrap up the episode, is that it takes us right back to the first thing we talked about. And to just, like, look
humble
at the experiences
yourself
that have happened to you
in the past. Put yourself you have to see where you are in this space-time continuum, because there is only the now. Your feelings, your emotions, your memories, they are very, very real. Don't get that wrong. But none of those things are permanent. They're either in the past or going to come from the future and recede to the past. And how you get through those emotions and past them is really something only you can work on to a point where it becomes easy for you to do so. And, you know, everyone winds up dwelling on things and everyone falls out of practice and has to get back up. And I got something written down right here. And I wish I could find it right away because I've got so many damn things written down here. But it basically was, what's the best part of falling down? And it's learning how to get back up.
Oh, absolutely. It's the best part about being on rock bottom is that there's nowhere else to go except up.
And I've said that many times. I've said that many times to people because I've been there in places where I'm still grateful for the things around me, but I know I'm in a shit spot. But at the same time, I know that I'm in such a shit spot that I've been humbled now and things are only going to get better.
With that, I want everyone to take all of that, all right? You shouldn't view it your life and see these things and be able to take the positive out of all of your memories and all of the events that have happened.
We try to make people aware here on the Max and Lou Show, aware of many things like who you are, mindfulness. We're very open. We want people to be open, and we're gonna share our thoughts with you about how we reflect on life and what we think about current events, video games, movies, news, whatever it is, you know? But we're here to inform people.
We're here for you guys.
Exactly. We really are. I mean, not to be conceited, but we did start the show, like, for the reason why you should do anything and not to be big or expect really any gain out of it.
We just did it for ourselves.
Yeah, we just wanted to record episode. We wanted to have fun. We wanted to start the podcast. We figured worst case scenario, 20 years from now, we'll forget all this shit. And me and Max will be hanging out one day. And we can fucking sit around listening to old conversations of ours. That's worst case scenario, which is still fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So, again, only great things can come out of this. And I know you're fucking listening to us. You're not sending us emails like you should be. But I know you're listening to us, so with us knowing that and with the amount of you that are continuing to listen to us and our numbers growing, now we're definitely in it for you guys more than we're in it for us, for sure. And we need to start taking things more more up a notch to the point where this is a great show for everybody. And we're not just here bullshitting, which is good though.
Exactly. But, like, if you made it this far, if you're listening to this right now and you're at the end of episode 24, the end of the episode, then clearly you enjoy us at some point. And if that is true, then, you know, guys, just take an extra minute out of your day and do it. Go for it. Go on maxandloushow@gmail.com. You can ask us a question. Send us feedback.
Because we will give you the feedback.
Go ahead. Give us some random news that you heard and you want to hear what we think about it. Anything that you absolutely want, go for it. Because we are waiting for those emails.
If it's a word, if it's a sentence, if it's a question, whatever it is, you know us. We will go off on it.
Exactly.
And who knows, maybe half of our episode will wind up being something that you guys gave us the idea for. Which is great, because this is not just, you know, our show.
Exactly. We're not here for us. We're now here for you. And that was episode 24 of Max and Lou. I made that rhyme intentionally.
Godspeed.
Godspeed.
Godspeed to the followers!